this. That question has been asked for thousands of years. It really has. Who is this? And that's a question that we're going to continue to walk through this morning as we're studying through the book of Mark. Who is this that even the sea and the winds, they obey Him? We're going to begin with our study in Mark, and we're going to look toward the Scripture on verse 35. Mark chapter 4 and verse 35. On that day, when the evening came, he said to them, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd, they took Him along with them in the boat, just as He was, and other boats were with Him. And there arose a fierce gale of wind, and the waves were breaking over the boat, so that that boat already filling up. Jesus Himself was in the stern, asleep on a cushion. And they woke Him up and said, "Teacher, do you not care we're perishing?" Got up, rebuked the wind, said to the sea, "Hush, be still." And the wind died down, and it became perfectly calm. And He said to them, "Why are you afraid? How is it that you have no faith?" They became very much afraid and said to one another, "Who then is this, that even the wind and the sea obey Him?" How is this? When traveling over to Israel, we went out on the Sea of the Galilee. On the Sea of the Galilee, when you look up, it's kind of like a mountaintop surrounding it. And what happens is that in a matter of just maybe 6 minutes, the wind can come over the top of that mountain. It swoops down, hits the Sea of Galilee. Galilee is about 16 miles long. But it hits the sea, and in a matter of just minutes, you can go from a calm sea to 6-foot wave. Now, you go back into the ancient time, and you begin to grab all these types of boats that they were in. In a matter of that long, life can change. I remember being out on Grenada Lake with Maude Streeter. Maude Streeter was around 90-something years. Maude Streeter liked to fish. And so we went out y'all know what a John boat is? Okay, you know a John boat, a little big flat thing with a piece of a motor on the back of it. We went out, and then all of a sudden we got out into Grenada Lake. And y'all know how Grenada Lake is. And the winds came up. And all of a sudden, we were going up and down, and I said, "Lord, I'm coming home." I was never so glad to get to the other side of Grenada Lake. It was just that long. Things change so fast. So we've got to ask the question, who is this? Now, there's some stuff that you're going to see here, like in verse 35, it said, "Let us go over to the other side." Lessons on men facing nature. Now, that's what we need to do. We need some men facing nature. And I thank you. I had one guy saying that real men wear pink. Okay, I'm not going to point you out. Okay, all right. And so therefore, we're looking here, lessons for men, nature. How does this thing work? On that day when it was evening, they said to them, "Let us go over to the other side." Now, does that mean anything to you? Does that ring your bell? I mean, when you just take that at face value, what does it say? "Let us go to the other side." Now, do you really believe Jesus? When He says something kind of quiet, it's kind of nonchalant, He said, "Let us go to the other side." You don't know what's going to happen in just minutes away from where you are. But when Jesus said, "Let us go to the other side," guess what's going to happen? You're going to the other side. And one of the interesting things along there, when He said it, they didn't take that in. So many times we read the Bible and we say, "Man, that was good," and we put the Bible up and we hang it up. We didn't hear it. He said, "Let us go to the other side." And then you notice up there, it said, leaving the crowd, they took Him. And there were other boats. Leaving the crowd, Jesus wasn't all about. Jesus delivered His message, and He was ready to go on. He wasn't in this for fame and fortune. He delivered the message, and now it's time for Him to go. Let's go, guys. They wanted Him to stay forever, but you don't stay like that. You got to move on. You go to seminary. You don't stay like that. You got to move on. And things happening right here. Let us go to the outside. Leaving the crowd, they took along with him. But did you notice something else? There were other boats. Now, if Jesus said, let us go on, you think they were all going to make it? Or was it just Jesus' boat? You see, when you get the word from the Lord, it's not all about you. It's about those who are surrounding you. He said, let's go. Sometimes it's hard for me to watch that film that we put together a few minutes ago. Did y'all see all the people who needed the Lord? How many of those faces can you recall? I can go back to every one of those faces that you saw in that video. Every one of them need the Lord. Every one of them is facing a challenge that's going to happen. But this is what he said. Let us go to the other side. Because when this begins to happen, all of a sudden they leave out on the journey and a fierce gale comes up. The wind comes up. The wave starts breaking over it. And the boat is already filling up. Now, when the boat fills up, what happens to you? You going to get scared? Oh, no, man, I'm tough. I wear pink. You going to get scared when the boat fills up? You better. The wind came up, and I told you, in Sea of Galilee, matter of just about 6 minutes, it can be over the top right there. And these guys, they were seasoned fishermen. Peter, James, and John, you know what they did for a living? For 30 years, they fished, or maybe more. They were fishermen. They knew the water. This was not something new. They knew they were in trouble. They knew they were filling up. What about Jesus? Sometimes we forget about Jesus. He's God. But you know what, Jesus? He'd been teaching all day. And you know what he was? He was tired. Man, you get up and you preach from can to can't. You're going to get tired. You use that mental energy, that mental power. He was tired. He was wore slap out. So let's give Jesus a break now. He went down and he was asleep. But these guys that were around him, what did Jesus already told them? He'd already said, let's go to the other side. Did they believe him? Oh, well, everybody's a Christian. You know, you're going to make it to the other. Did they believe him? All the storms are coming. Did they believe him? Oh, all of a sudden it happened to me. Did they believe him? He said, let's go to the other side. Are you going to hold on to that? Are you going to hold on to that when the real storm faces you with life itself? He was asleep on a cushion. They woke him up. Teacher, do you care? I think that broke his heart. Jesus, do you care? What was the problem? There was a storm. What was the problem? The boat was filling up. What was the problem? These Caesar fishermen knew that they were fixing to die. But they asked Jesus, do you care? You know, for us, when the storms hit us, do we ask the question, Jesus, do you really care? How severe was it? We're perishing. These seasoned fishermen knew what was happening. They were going down. And they asked Jesus, do you care? Remember what Jesus said? Let's go to the other side. But Jesus, do you really care? He got up. He rebuked the wind. Hush. Just like you do your kids sometimes. Hush. Hush. Be still. And what did the wind do? Just like your kid does, right? Yeah. Wind died down and it became perfectly calm. Do y'all remember I told you that it didn't take but about 6 minutes for that wind to come across the top of that mountain hit? When Jesus spoke to the wind and the wind stopped, and when the wind stopped pushing those waves that could make as much as 6 feet of wave, all of a sudden the wind stopped and what happened to the sea? The sea went calm. But here's the real question. Why are you afraid? Why are you afraid? When the storms hit you, why are you afraid? Boy, then Jesus hit them where it hurt. He said, "Do you still have no faith?" Do you still have no faith? I think this hit him at rock. I mean, this, when they stop back and they start thinking about this, and when my world started crushing in, do you have, where's your faith? And the interesting thing was their response. The interesting thing was they were afraid. No longer were they afraid of the storm. Who were they afraid of? Whoa! They were afraid of Jesus. That's... Who is this? The wind and the sea obey Him. We're still asking that same question today. Somehow when I think about Jesus, all this stuff is interconnected. I think about dying and living. And I think about fear and faith. Are they all interconnected? Well, let's just take a real opinion. Do you suppose that the disciples were concerned about living? Yeah. Do you suppose they were concerned about dying? Yeah. Do you suppose they were concerned about the fear? Yeah. Do you suppose they were concerned about faith? It's all interconnected. Do you have fear in the face of dying? But you know another thing? Do you have fear in the face of living? And so, you see these guys right there. They were afraid after the storm. They were afraid in the midst of living. God gives us grace to die. But God also gives us grace to live. West Virginia. I don't know if y'all caught on the first slide on that people need the Lord. West Virginia, because of drug overdoses, they can't keep up with the number of people that are dying. It was of the social class in which they needed money to put them in the ground, and they've already used up the money. They can't keep up with the number of people who are dying from overdose. A lot of people have fear of living. Why? Because they don't have the faith. You've got to have faith to live. You've got to have faith to die. You may have fears, but all of these are interconnected. And don't think you're something weird when all of these pieces connect and you're afraid, or you have faith, or you're dying, or you're living. Because it's all coming back together. But Jesus said, let's go to the other side. Now, what's going to happen? Do you know what's going to happen on the other side? If you hadn't read ahead, you don't know what's going to happen. If you read ahead, you know about what's going to happen. Jesus said, let's go to the other side. Now, what do y'all think about when I say let's go to the other side? What's going to be there for you? Okay, come on. What? Everything's going to be, oh, it's going to be neat on the other side, isn't it? Oh, yeah, if you go with Jesus, it's going to be neat on the other side. Lessons of men facing the spiritual world. Let's see what's on the other side. Chapter 5, verse 1 says, they came to the other side, into the country of the Gerasenes. And when they got out of the boat, immediately a man from the tombs with an unclean spirit met him, and he was dwelling among the tombs. And no one was able to bind him anymore, even with a chain, because he had often been bound with shackles and chains, and the chains had been torn apart by him, and the shackles broken and in pieces, and no one was strong enough to subdue him. Constantly, night and day, he was screaming among the tombs and in the mountains and gashing himself with stones. Jesus said, let's go to the other side. What are you going to face on the other side? Immediately, he got out of the boat. And there's an issue right here that's really plaguing me. This man, he's a cutter. This man's crying out night and day. Because this man has lost control of his only body, and he is possessed by at least We're going to speed it up. He's possessed by at least 2,000 demons. He gets out of the boat, and did you know this man at that moment had more strength than 2,000 demons? Why? He went up to Jesus. You see, so many people have been overcome with something that's controlling their body. You ask the guy that's an addict, would you like to be free? You ask the guy that's hooked on porn, would you like to be free? You ask the guy that's the drunkard, would you like to be free? You ask the guy that's broken and he's living on the streets, would you like to be free? And in so many cases, they'll run to the gate. They'll bow at Jesus. And they'll cry out, but they can't be free. This guy couldn't be free because the spiritual world had so overcome him. Immediately, the man had an unclean spirit. No one was able to. No matter how many trips, no matter how many prison sentences, no matter what they did, you'd have said that person is a lost hope. You'd have said, leave him alone. Just leave him alone. And when you hear the crying out into the night, you'll say, oh, that was just the man. So many times, we turn our back on those who are crying out, and we say, there's just no hope for him. There's no hope for her. Just listen to him. But this one man ran and faced and fell down at the feet of Jesus. Everybody else had given up on him. But he had something inside of him that he ran when Jesus hit the shore. Seeing Jesus at a distance, he ran and he bowed down before him, shouting with a loud voice and saying, what business do we have with each other? Jesus, the Son of the Most High, I implore you by God, do not torment me. Who's speaking? The man. Who's in control? Fallen angels. Think about that. Here's a fallen man. Here's fallen angels. They combine together, and a man's out of control. And people say, there's no hope. Truth about the matter is, each of us, we're fallen men. Josh read the scripture, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, said, we were dead in our trespasses. We were dead. And the only thing that's going to bring us alive is grace. This began to happen. The fallen angels, you mean they're fallen? Absolutely. These are the guys that were kicked out of heaven. Why? Because they rebelled against God. And these guys only know to do what? To kill, steal, and destroy. That's all they know how to do. If you don't believe it, just watch them as they come up. Let me tell you what's on the other side. Here's what's on the other side. And many times you just left from the revival. You just left from God, Jesus Christ speaking. You just left and you went to the other side. And this is what you faced. And shouting with a loud voice. You know what many times people want to do? By intimidation, they want to beat you down. Have you ever noticed how you get into a crowd and this guy starts getting louder and louder and louder and louder, and all of a sudden here you are at the restaurant. Josh, I don't know what you're going to do, buddy. This guy says, well, my coffee's cold. Oh, I wanted it hot. And he gets louder and louder and louder. And what does Josh want to do? Oh, here's another cup, sir. Do whatever it takes to shut his mouth. Why? Because it's intimidation. You've seen it. So all of a sudden you get in a little discussion with somebody. And you think the louder that you get, there's more attention that you're going to have. To finally, intimidation, that's what the demonic world seeks to do. And that's what evil people will seek to do. They will try to intimidate you. Secondly, they will try to isolate you. Get him away from Jesus. What business do we have to do with you? You see, the demonic world knows that Jesus is grace. The demonic world knows that Jesus is truth. The demonic world knows that Jesus can deliver. And so what is the demonic world? Let's get away from this Jesus stuff. Let's take Ten Commandments out of the schools. Let's don't pray in the home. Let's get away from all this Jesus stuff so we can go on and live. That's what he wants to do. That's what the darkness side wants to do. Intimidation, isolation, identification. Look at there. Even the demons know who Jesus is. And I dare say there's many people who are overcome with something else controlling their bodies, and they know who Jesus is. They really know that Jesus. They can even say to you, Jesus is the Son of God. We know he is the Most High. We know who he is. But what do? Importune. I implore you by God. Who's asking for this? The demons are. I implore you by God. Did the demons know God? Yeah. They live right there in the presence of him. They knew that God's over all. And he says, I'm begging you. By God. They will take what they know is to be religious and try to twist it to their liking. The dark side will use religion to take you under and to control you. And then look at the inference. Look at what they try to do. You know the reason why you're having pain now? It's because of Jesus. You know the reason why you're not having fun now? It's because of Jesus. The other reason why you're going bankrupt, it's because of Jesus. Another reason why you can't get off the stuff, I can't hang out. All Jesus wants to say is don't. You see, the dark side of the world wants to say that Jesus is the reason for suffering. But what happened? For he had been saying to them, come out of the man, you unclean spirit. And he was asking them, what is your name? And he said to them, my name is Legion, for we are many. And began to implore him earnestly not to send them out of the country. Now there was a large herd of swine nearby on the mountain. The demons implored him, saying, send us into the swine so that we may enter them. And Jesus gave them permission, and coming out, the unclean spirits entered into the swine, and the herd rushed down to the steep bank into the sea, about 2,000 of them, and they were drowned in the sea. Oh, man. Can you imagine that? Jesus was saying, come out of the man. And the man saying, the reason. Jesus was delivering the man, but yet they were saying, hey, to the man, hey, the reason why you're hurting is because of Jesus. Jesus said, what's your name? Legion. Because there were many, many, many. And they began to implore him. Oh, don't send us to the pit. Don't send us out of the country into the unknown. But just send us into these swine. They ask. And you know what the most amazing thing is? Jesus gave permission for the demons to go out to the swine. And 2,000 of them died. Okay, let's just be realistic here. 2,000 hogs now are dead. They're floating on the water. And who do you have, who do you feel for? You feel for what about the landowner? You feel for him? What about the men who own? Do you feel for him? What about all these poor swine? Do you feel for them? Do you feel for the materialism and what this guy lost all of a sudden? Or do you feel for this one man that's sitting there in his right mind? You see, a lot of times we struggle with, what do I really feel? The herdsmen ran away and reported it in the city and the country, and the people came out to see what had happened. They came to Jesus and observed the man had been demon-possessed, sitting down, clothed in his right mind. The very man who had been in Legion, and they became what? Frightened. Why? Because here's this guy that had been a cutter. Here's this guy that had been living out in the cemeteries. Here's this guy that had been crying night and day. Here's this guy that has broken chains. And now he's sitting in his right mind and they're afraid. Are they afraid to live? Are they afraid to die? Is there fear? Is there faith? They became afraid. Those who had been described to them how it happened, the demon-possessed man, all the swine. Well, in our day and time, we have people who would say, oh, the poor swine. They'd file a lawsuit against Jesus. They would. And the courts would uphold it. And they'd go to the Supreme Court and they'd say, oh, those poor pigs. Jesus committed hogicide. Those poor pigs. Well, you know what? You've got to make some decisions this morning. Let's have some lessons of men facing unbelief. Think about this. And they began to implore him to leave the region. And he was getting in the boat. And the man who was demon-possessed was imploring him that he might accompany them. And he said to them, go home to your home and report what great things the Lord's done for you and how they had mercy on you. And he went away and began proclaiming to Decapolis, getting Jesus, oh, what great things Jesus Christ had done for him. And everyone was amazed. You got two groups. Both of them saw the facts. They saw the result of the hogs. They saw the result of the man. You got two groups. One said, Jesus, you leave. Get out of here. The other said, Jesus, let me go with you. We all fall into one of those two categories. We either tell Jesus, go home, or we fall in the category of, Jesus, I want to go with you. We all fall into that category. It really breaks down to that. And what did Jesus tell him to do? Here, let's see. There's a time to learn. There really is. There's a time. And Jesus taught them the lesson of deliverance. He taught them the power of God. There's a time to go home. There really is a time to go home and share what great things God's done for you. But then there's a time to tell others. And I want to back this up with you, kind of in bringing this thing down to conclusion right here. I skipped ahead two chapters because Jesus left. He told the man we call Legion, we told him to go back home and tell what good things had done. And this is what the man did. What was the result of that? Two chapters later, Jesus, again, he went up from the region of Tyre and came to Sidon, to the Sea of Galilee, within the region of Decapolis. Decapolis was the 10 cities where Legion was living, okay? He went home into the circle of the 10 cities that were there and he began to foretell what great things Jesus Christ had done. And they brought to him one who was deaf and spoke with difficulty. They implored, they implored him to lay their hands on him. Remember what they did last time? They implored him to leave. Now, after hearing and resulting the result here, now they implore him to lay hands on him. Jesus took him aside from the what? From the crowd. You see, this guy went home and did what Jesus told him to do, and now a crowd is gathering. That's what he wants us to do. Go home and tell what great things God has done for us. But not just in your home, but in your region. Go home and tell what great things so that there will be a crowd that will gather around and come to Jesus and say, look, we got this guy that needs help. And Jesus will help him. He touched his tongue in saliva, looked up to heaven with a deep sigh and said, Epaphrata, that is, be opened. And the miracle occurred. So let me ask you the question. Who is this? Who is this? He is power of the natural world. He speaks to the wind and it dies down and the seas. He has power over the supernatural world. He speaks to the demonic and they leave and a man's restored. Who is this? He has power over the unbelieving world. He sends a man whose life had been changed and the crowd begins to gather at the feet of Jesus. Who is this? But the real question is, who is this to you? Who is this to you? Do you have a fear this morning? Do you just want to get away? Isolate yourself from the truth? Because of intimidation of all the thoughts that are going on in your mind, and you know who He is, but you don't want to part. Who is this to you? So you got two choices. Choice number one, Jesus is who He said He was. He is the Son of God. Even the demons knew that. But is He your Lord? This morning, you can ask Jesus Christ, the one who calmed the sea, the one who cast out 2,000 demons, the one who healed a cutter, a stone beater, the one who delivered a man. You can ask Jesus this morning to come into your life. And He will bring peace. Just like the peace of the water. Just like the deliverance of the man. This morning, you can ask Jesus into your heart. How do you do that? How do you do that? First of all, you go and you listen to what Jesus really did. The group from the city came out and they wanted to know the facts. The facts are, we're sinners. Facts are, we deserve to go to hell. The facts are, we desire forgiveness. The facts are, if we'll make Jesus Christ our Lord and ask for forgiveness, He'll forgive us of all of our sins and He will bring peace into our life. That's the facts. If you know the facts, you're a sinner. If you know the facts, you want to be forgiven. You know the facts, you want Jesus to be the Lord of life. If you know the facts, you want Him to come in and be number one in your life. If you know the facts, and the only thing's left is to ask Him. Is to ask Him. Jesus, forgive me. Come in my life. Who is Jesus to you? We're going to play a song. You heard the song a while ago. But if you'd like to give your life to Jesus Christ, I want to meet you down front. If you've already given your life and you just want to tell somebody that you've given your life to Christ, I want you to meet me down front. If you got somebody that you need to pray for, prayer altars are open. Because the real question is, who is this? It's dying in life. It's fear and faith. Who is this to you? Let's pray. Father, right now we've got to make some decisions. For a moment, Lord, the winds aren't blowing. For a moment, just a moment, we have a calm. You said in Your Word, today is the day of salvation. And so for this moment, we have that opportunity to find the peace of God, which goes beyond our understanding. And by grace, we will be saved. If we will confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God raised Him from the dead, You said we'd be saved. You also said, whoever will call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So God, this moment, this hour, this time, we pray for this moment. Holy Spirit, we ask You to do Your work here as we know You want to do it. And let people be strong enough and overcome their fear to accept Christ by faith. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together as we share together in this hymn.